There's a change in the climate. There's a change in the air. Changes are happening everywhere.
Welcome to Eco Talk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. And if that song sounds familiar, we played it about a month ago when we did a show on climate change. And today's, at least the first half, will be about just that. And there is a lot happening this week on the effort to combat global warming, no small task, and we are going to have a great green show for you, of course. Again, the first half devoted to global warming, and we'll go to Montreal for several reports. We're also going to be looking at greener holidays and how you can reduce your waistline, continuing on that theme as we enter the big month. And then grizzlies will be the last focus in the last segment. Why are they on the endangered list, or they were, and why is that now endangered? We want to first thank our sponsors, the Natural Resources Defense Council, making this program possible, and the NRDC has gone out of their way to make sure that EcoTalk lives. We are in a fundraising campaign, so if you can help our program, it not only is something that I don't get paid for, this is a labor of love, but we actually have to pay for production, promotion, and even pay the network to keep this show on the air. They like it enough to keep it there, but that's just the realities of the radio industry. If you'd like to find out more about what we're trying to raise funds for, how much, and by when, please go to our website. It's www.ecotalk.net. And now that we have that business out of the way, but of course we want to stay sustainable ourselves, we're going to check in with Michelle Perrault. She is the International Vice President of the Sierra Club in the United States. She's joining us now from Montreal. Want to mention that, as usual, we have to record EcoTalk a few days before it airs on the weekend. So that big conference is underway. And by the time you hear this weekend, there will be lots of protests underway. About 10,000 people gathered for what is called the conference of the parties, and it's actually the first meeting of the parties who ratified the Kyoto Protocol, so I guess that means the United States isn't there. Thanks, Michelle.
Okay. Well, the United States is here because they're part of the Conference of the Parties, something that was started in 1992, but they can't go to all the meetings because they're not part of the meeting of the parties, what we call the MOP, and those are the people, the countries that actually signed the Kyoto Protocol, something that had been set up for signatures since 1997 in Kyoto, Japan. And the United States is not a signatory to that, and that's one of the reasons I'm up here as a citizen and as a member of the Sierra Club.
And we're going to find out exactly what's taken place so far. But first, let's get the acronyms out of the way. You mentioned MOP. There's also COP, and UNFCCC is the official acronym for this conference. What does that stand for?
Well, the COP is the Conference of the Parties. Those are those countries, including the United States, who are part of the UNFCCC, which is the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. And then there had to be a protocol designed for real action and final signatories, and the U.S. is not a signatory to that. And that was finalized when Russia finally entered into it in February of last year. And so this is the first meeting of the parties, but the 11th meeting of the Conference of the Parties. So the U.S. has been coming to these for, this is the 11th year, but there are joint meetings, which include sometimes the U.S. when the COP meets, but then there's what's called a COP-MOP, and that's when the meeting of the parties occur.
Okay, now
the U.S. is not part of that, and as a matter of fact, they are in the halls here obstructing things, as they have been doing all along on this issue of climate change.
There's lots of people there to give them a lot of hell for that, isn't there?
They have now said that there are at least 9,500. So we've got almost the 10,000 that they expected. And they made the comment that 80% of them are from non-governmental organizations. This is the first time the Conference of the Parties have met in North America. And that's one of the reasons that I'm at this one, is one of my first meetings, to be able to come up here as a U.S. citizen who has little voice if I wait for the Bush administration. And this is a place where I can join with other members of other environmental groups around the world from all the continents who have come here as a place to make a difference, a place to learn, a place to share concerns. And as it turns out, it's also a place to go after the United States for its inaction.
Yeah, it really is sort of a final, finally we get a chance to sort of physically, you know, look at the United States and say, you know, feel the heat. You know, you've got your head in the sand, and we're here to make sure that you're accountable, because this has been building, but this is sort of the first manifestation of all this angst coming together and saying, hey, we've got a planetary emergency. U.S., you know, get with the program or get out of the way. Is that essentially what
right.
the feeling is?
And the other emergency is that the Kyoto Protocol is only in effect till 2012. There were targets that countries agreed to meet up until that time period, but even those were not adequate enough to deal with the problem where we're trying to limit the rise in temperatures in our our globe to no higher than 2 degrees centigrade. And unless there is a renegotiation for something for a Kyoto Plus, they call it, which will allow additional commitments by countries and increased commitments, not just by the developed world, those that are emitting most of the problem, but also those that are being affected by the impacts from the rising climate change effects that affect their ability to get access to water, their agricultural activities, their need for energy, their need to meet basic needs. All these are a problem unless countries can find a way to take care of this globe we all live on, because it's going to get to a dangerous level where it may be too hard to turn back.
And last time I checked, this was the last planet we had that was habitable. You know, I keep going back to President Bush's reason for not, you know, being part of Kyoto. It will wreck the economy was one of his favorites. The other is cost jobs.
Right.
Well, how do you figure? I mean, how many jobs have been lost? How much has the, you know, the most world's most devastating hurricane season, which just ended into the Greek alphabet 26 storms later, you know, more Category 4 than 5 storms ever recorded. And, yeah, this could be coincidence. It could be just natural cycles, or it could be global warming. Wouldn't it be better to err on the side of caution? So they no longer can say that legitimately.
No, they cannot. There are enough scientists and academies of scientists worldwide who've indicated that there is a real problem here, that we have an opportunity and the technology to cut the emissions of the greenhouse gases which fuel the global warming. And America has failed to take any meaningful steps to address the problem. We keep hearing the administration say they don't want to get involved. They try to, in the halls here of these meetings, try to get the developing countries as well to not try to commit further past the Kyoto obligations that the developed world has to meet.
Well, let's get to that, because the first reason is it'll cost jobs. How many jobs were lost in New Orleans alone? Wreck the economy. How many billions? And this is just by, you know, one storm or a series of hurricanes. And then, lastly, what about the developing nations? Well, you know, they've used India and China not being part of it as an excuse. I understand in that meeting that took place at G8 in Scotland a while back that there were representatives there from China and India, you know, on the occasion that the United States decided to take its head out of the sand, do something about it, and because we didn't, they went home empty-handed.
Right, and they're here at this meeting, and they're being very involved in all of the discussions. They clearly, I mean, when a country like China sees their glaciers are melting, that they're having problems with drought, that they can't predict long range, that they're going to be able to supply their people with adequate water because there are such changes in the climate. These things hit home to the developing countries. They need help to be able to go meet their basic needs. They have to grow. They are growing, and they have to do it in a way where they get the help to do it, not in the model that we've used in the developed world. They need that help. They're asking for it here in Montreal, and we'll be continuing to ask for that kind of help. Money is needed, and the United States is not here giving any leadership on these issues. These are complex issues. These are sensitive issues. And the real leadership is coming from other countries, including the non-governmental organizations as well, who literally meet every day here, and they huddle and figure out what's the best way to help move for better language, for real decisions, for something to happen. That's the leadership is not only here with the non-governmental groups, but we're going to be having here in Montreal meetings of mayors from around the world, because they at the local level are taking the initiative to make things happen. The local leaders are really the ones that are out in front of the administration, especially in the United States.
So with 10 days of international spotlight on this event and these series of presentations, one can only hope, and really it seems like it's inevitable that, you know, Washington is going to, at the end of this, see that, you know, they're just that. You know, the leadership is acting like a collective ostrich.
Yeah, well, whether or not they actually get it in this present administration, there's a lot of discussion here at the meeting about the next administration that, you know, we can't just, people don't have any great hope about what the Bush administration is going to do, but they're looking to the next future where the U.S. is not looking. I mean, we have U.S. senior negotiators here who are taking hard lines on any discussion on post-2012 frameworks for the climate action. And people are saying, well, yeah, but they won't be in office.
Good.